Glad you're all here today. And more importantly, the Lord is with us. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. So he's here. It's us just being sensitive to him and hearing from him and allowing him to speak to us. So let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you that you love us. Thank you that you loved us enough that you would send your only son to pay the penalty that we owed, to pay for our debt through the shedding of his blood. Thank you that you're not a dead Savior, but you're a living and risen Savior. Thank you for your Spirit, who you've given to us, to live in us, to be our helper, our guide, our teacher. This morning, Holy Spirit, speak to each of us. Give us ears to hear what we need to hear, including myself. Speak through me and through your word. Don't let it return empty or void. Let it accomplish your purposes for each of us this morning. For your glory, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. So I want you to imagine with me that somehow you've been randomly selected by the executives of NBC. They got endless money. And you're going to have the opportunity to meet a celebrity, a dignitary, or some athlete of your choosing. You'll be from first class, and you're going to get 7 minutes to spend with this person. And you can talk over coffee or tea. So, who would you pick? Yeah, alive today. Yeah, we're not going to dig up any bones. You know, it's got to be somebody with flesh and still breathing. Anybody? Taylor Swift? Beyonce? How about President Biden? Anybody want to meet with the president for 7 minutes? Maybe, or what do you say, Chuck? Clint Eastwood. He's still living. Barely, but he's still living. Patrick Mahomes?
Bob Goff.
There you go. Maybe Simone Biles with the Olympics coming up. You thought that maybe? Maybe Tom Hanks or some other actress. Notice I didn't list Tom Brady. We wouldn't want to see him. I had to think, if I was given the opportunity to meet with somebody like that, would I want to think about what I'd want to say to them beforehand? Some questions I might want to ask him. Imagine I would. And how excited would you be for that meeting? Now, you probably know where I'm going with this, right? Truth be told, we have access to someone more important than any of these people, more famous than any of these people that I had mentioned or that might have been in your mind. And as Christians, we have continual 24/7, 365 access to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To talk with him. And he won't put a time limit on it. And you don't even need to fly anywhere. Think of it. The creator of the universe, the one who made everything, including us, not only allows us, but actually desires and longs for us to meet and hang out with him. It's amazing. Truly, it's amazing. And we're granted this privilege through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we have been adopted into his family, and we call him Abba, Father, Daddy. Wow. Romans 8:15 says, you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves, but instead you have received God's spirit and have been adopted as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. And Ephesians 2:18 says, through Jesus we have access to the Father. Again, it's really astonishing to think about this. Why does God want to meet and be with you or me? It's a question. It's not rhetorical. Why? Why would God want to meet with us? Why does he desire to meet with us? I mean, me of all people. I mean, we're his. He loves us. And love desires intimacy and fellowship. When you love someone, that's what you want. When I first started dating Luann, I couldn't be with her enough. Too often, we forfeit this opportunity, though, don't we? Probably because we just get busy with life. Reformer Martin Luther was a very busy man. I don't know what all Martin Luther did, but he said this: if I fail to spend 2 hours each morning in prayer, the devil gets the victory that day. He says, I have so much business to do that I cannot go on without spending time in daily prayer. Now, my object this morning is not to make you feel guilty or me feel guilty for not spending more time with the Father, with Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. But I sensed I was being asked by the Holy Spirit to have you look at and me look at and examine our prayer lives. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring light to anything that might need to be changed. And how we do things. Speaking of busy people, when you look at the life of Jesus, was there anybody busier than Jesus? Probably not. I mean, he was in constant demand. People just always wanting to see the master, right? His days were spent preaching, teaching, healing, deliverance. I mean, he had no moment to be alone, hardly. And yet, Jesus made it a priority to get away and be alone with his Father. Mark 1:35 says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Or in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, to me, it's interesting because Jesus is God. He's part of the Trinity. It's not like he needed to connect. He was connected. I mean, already. Because being part of the, and so, but he wanted to remove himself from the activities of the day to spend time with his Father, in communion with his Father. So, another question, and this isn't rhetorical. What exactly is prayer? You tell me. You're all believers for a number of years. What exactly is prayer? Communication, which means?
I talk with them many times a day.
Okay. And listening. Yeah, that works too, doesn't it? So I had this little video that we're going to watch just for a minute. So you've seen this before, but.
Hey, Jesus, sorry I'm late. Work was crazy today. No, don't get up. It's okay. Just got a little bit behind. People are being crazy, you know.
That's no problem, Chuck. I'm just glad.
I'm glad I made it, too. But listen, let's get down to business. I have a lot of work here, a lot of requests. First things first, pastor and his wife are at a conference. Keep them safe. Not a fan of the assistant pastor. The less he preaches, the better. What else?
Ralph, his wife is getting a tattoo removed. It's a stupid college party way back when. You know how those things go. It's in a real painful spot.
I'm not a fan of football here, but my friend is. And if I could have 2 tickets to take him to show him how cool I am so he'd be my friend some more, that'd be great.
My dog Nibbles has a gimp leg.
Jiminy crickets. You know, now that I'm thinking, I could use a new jacket. I'm getting fuzzies all in this one.
Please bless my sister, my mother, my father. Our Father who art in heaven, my neighbor, Cindy, hallowed be thy name. Can you sort of train my church to clap on 2 and 4, please? 1 and 3, this is not disco, people. This is serving the Lord. The guy who brings in my shopping cart from the thing, something I can do to get a raise. Can you read what I wrote here? I think I was dreaming. Bless the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Secretaries. Bless their secretaries. Thy kingdom come. And that's what bothers me about my mother. Hey, look at the time there. That's, gotta get going there. Jesus gonna wrap this up and say amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure praying with you. It's fine evening. I'll be talking with you. Have a good day.
Yeah. It's humorous, but there's a lot of truth in it. I remember a time in my own life where I wasn't too different than that man. I had an actual list, a long list, and I would go through this every day. Not that a list is bad, but that's basically what I did. And I'd just be like, okay, thank you. I didn't really give him an opportunity to speak or to be quiet. And don't get me wrong, the Lord wants to hear a request. I'm not making light of any of those requests that he said. But he wants to speak to us as well, the back and forth communication, like Colleen said. I'd said to the kids in Life Cycles when I did a little devotional on prayer, if you know God's cell phone number, it's Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You know, when my earthly father calls me, I know his voice. And that's one of the benefits to being a child of God. We can know and hear our Heavenly Father's voice. So, do you know God's voice? Can you pick up when he's speaking to you? Jesus in John 10:3 says, my sheep hear my voice. He's just saying it. They hear my voice. I don't believe there's many of us that hear his audible voice. Does anyone ever hear his audible voice? I have never. That doesn't mean he's not speaking. He's speaking all the time. So what are some of the ways that God regularly speaks to us? How does he speak to us? You tell me. What are some of the ways he speaks to you? Bingo. That's number one, probably. Through his word. Through what he's already written and told us. People say, I wish I knew the will of God. Well, just you have to read a little, you know. You'll pick it up pretty quick. Through the word. How else does he? And, you know, I open this. I don't know if you do that or not, but oftentimes, most times, I usually have the Bible open in front of me during my times of prayer. It's usually right there and open. It's helpful. How else does he speak to us? That's my next point. Through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. That's him speaking to your heart. It's not something you hear with this. It's in here. Sometimes, I don't know if you do this, maybe it's just me. Sometimes I'll actually say it out loud, what I hear in with that inner voice of the Holy Spirit, and I'll say it out loud, and I know it's him speaking to me through me. That's weird, isn't it? And yet, that's happened different times. When I needed an answer, I spoke it out of my own mouth, kind of. It's weird, but it's good. How else does the Lord speak to us? Yes, both believers and unbelievers. God's not handicapped by that. Yeah, true. Heaven forbid, elders. He does do that occasionally. Through family members, friends, mentors. If we're listening, God is such a creative communicator. He really is. If you're listening, you'll hear him speaking through newspapers as you look through the paper. We still get the paper. I know the younger generation does not anymore, but we still get it. And sometimes I'll be reading through the paper, and he'll prompt me to pray for this or do that. It's interesting. I've even known God to speak through billboards along the road to people. Not just Christian billboards, other billboards. He speaks through dreams, through visions, and through prophetic words. Sometimes Christian people that speak to us don't know it, but they're speaking a prophetic word. Interesting. Personally, I believe the Father is constantly speaking to us. The question is, are we aware of it and are we listening? I think oftentimes we miss a lot of what he's trying to communicate just because we're not tuned in. That's me. I'm distracted a lot with various things. So sometimes it's helpful to just get alone, turn down the volume of the world. Where do you go to turn down the volume of the world? And be still and know that he is God. We need those times and we need those places to do that. And I don't believe there's just one right way to pray. I don't think the Father has a preferred method of prayer. He made us each very uniquely. And so I believe that how we communicate with him and how he communicates with us will be unique as well. And it'll be different for each of us. But I do believe that God wants our prayers to be heartfelt and not rote. Not I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord's soul to keep. Not that that's bad to pray that, but he doesn't want that. He wants things from the heart. No pretense. He said that in Luke 18:10-14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. God wants authenticity in our prayers. He wants us to be real with him. I mean, he already knows what we need. He knows what's on our heart, and yet he desires for us to tell him. What a great father, huh? So it should be natural, like it is natural for a child to go to their father, interact with their father, asking him for things. Even in those desperate seasons of life that come our way, when we're sometimes at our wit's end and we don't know what to say, God has even provided a way for us to communicate with him when we don't know what to say. Because the Spirit, he says, the Spirit will intercede in our behalf with groanings. Sometimes we don't even know how to put it into words. We just groan. And he understands the groan through the Holy Spirit in us. That's awesome, isn't it? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What a wonderful Father we have. He even supplies us when we don't even know how to say it. So even in the hardest times, especially in the hardest times and in your lowest moments, go to the Father. He's waiting and he's listening. You know, and the enemy, he's relentless too. When you've really missed it, and you'd screwed up again, the same thing again, the enemy will say, look what you've done. There's a song out about called that. Look what you've done to me. You can't go to the Father, you wretch. You think you're going to go to the Father after you did that again? You're going to ask him forgiveness again for that same thing again. Anybody been there? Yeah. You call yourself a Christian, you're pathetic. That's what he does. He just lies to us constantly. Don't believe his lies. The Father knows all those things and still wants us to come. And when we do, it'll deepen our walk with him and our relationship with him. And he wants to get us back on track walking with him again. There's many promises in the word to encourage us to pray. Psalms 195:15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. It's a great promise. Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Man, I love that. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus himself says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. What a great invitation, right? And yet, with all these promises that were given in prayer, there are still times where we've been praying and praying and praying, and it seems like the heavens are brass and there's no answer. There's no nothing. And sometimes the answer may be no. And sometimes the answer may be wait. I think no is easier to take than wait, right? Waiting. Sometimes our unanswered prayers, and I threw this in at the last second here. I wrote down things on this envelope at the last minute because I've sensed I was supposed to include it. So here you go. Sometimes unanswered prayers are not the Lord's doing, but it's on us. Five hindrances to prayer. There's more than that. There's five. I'll just go through them quickly. James 4:3 says, we have wrong motives. You don't get what you ask for because you have wrong motives. Psalms 66:18 says, you have a secret sin that's hindering that request. There's something secret, not secret to God, but something that needs to be dealt with. 1 Peter 3:7 says, when we dishonor our wives. The Lord hit me over the head with that one some years ago. You don't listen to your wife, you're not honoring your wife. It was told to me through a prophet who didn't even know me, didn't even know Luann. Mark 6:5-6, lack of faith. You got to believe, you got to have faith for it. And this one's a big one. Mark 11:25, unforgiveness can hinder our prayers. Wow. So there are some things that can sometimes have to be dealt with. Scripture does tell us that when we do pray for one another, God hears us and answers. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. That means without stopping. Always praying. What this tells me is God wants to communicate with us 24/7, always. He's willing to communicate. If he wants us to pray without ceasing, it means he's wanting to communicate without ceasing. So, yes, I believe he wants us to have regular times where we're by ourselves still before him. But when that time is over and you're going through your day, go with him. Invite him along. Be in that prayerful mindset throughout your day, always. While you're driving, I do that. I'll always pray when I'm driving in my truck. I don't know why. It's natural for me. I don't know why. Or when you're at the grocery store, or when you're interacting with people, filling the gas tank, or whatever you're doing, mowing the lawn, Oftentimes I get to mental blocks and stuff when I'm doing things, and I'll go out and blow the driveway off while, you know, living in the woods, it needs it all the time. And I'll be speaking to him as I'm blowing the driveway with those head things on, ear protectors, and he'll speak to me things, and I'll go in and jot things down. I'm always writing stuff down as I'm driving. I hope I don't have an accident because I'm speaking, you know. So how is your prayer life, really? Is it a chore, a duty? You know, you grit your teeth, let's get her done, you know. Some days it's like that, isn't it? It's just harder. But he doesn't want it to be like that. Maybe it's a discipline for you where you've learned to include it in your daily routine. A good discipline. But you know, that's not God's best either. Because he wants it to be more than just a discipline. He wants it to be a delight for us. To steal away, to be with him. I mean, when I was dating Luann, I worked as many minutes as I could into my day to be with her or to do things with her. And when you love someone, you make it a priority and you figure it out to make it happen. That's what he wants. He wants it to be a delight for us. And he knows we're human. Some days it will be a delight, and other days it'll be more of a discipline. It goes back and forth, and that's okay. Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13 says, "Then you will come to me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me." Listen to this. "When you search for me with all your heart, then he'll be found." So if you feel like you're not connecting, maybe it's because you're not doing it with all your heart. You're just kind of going through the motions. I don't know. Just know that God desires to be with us and to speak to us and us with him, but we can't do it half-heartedly. As I was preparing this message, I had to think of one example of someone who was wholehearted in their prayers, and it was Hannah. So I'm going to read out of the book of Judges, or actually 1 Samuel, first chapter. It talks about Hannah. I'm going to go from verses 1 to 18. It says, "Now there's a certain man who lived in the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Phinehas. Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, two sons, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord there. Whenever they came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions for Phinehas, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year she went up to the house of the Lord that she was provoked by her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Hannah arose after they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat at the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if indeed you look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.' And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? put your wine away with you. But Hannah answered and said, oh no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Great example of someone being in fervent prayer for what she wanted. So, you get the idea. This is why God doesn't want us to have more than one wife. One reason. But Hannah was barren, and Phinehas, the other wife, would rub it under her nose of all the children she had. Could you imagine? This went on year after year after year. Oh. So one year, Hannah refused to eat. She was praying and fasting before the Lord. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that all these things were written for our example, written for our admonition. We're going to learn from people like Hannah and about how to pray. Hannah's situation was very difficult, more than we can imagine. I mean, year after year, she'd had the same old thing. No children in the heavens were brass. No answer. Can you relate? Are you praying for something where you feel that there's no breakthrough, there's no answers? I'm sure the brew bakers feel that way sometimes with Greta. It's like, what in the world? We're asking things from God, and there's no answers to prayer. Jesus in Matthew 6:8 says, your Father knows what you need before you ask, yet he still wants us to ask. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for, he says. 1 John says, 5:14-15, and we are confident that he hears whatever we ask for that pleases him. So he knows what we need, yet he wants us to ask and keep asking. So back to Hannah. She wasn't asking nicely. She was past being having good manners before God. As she was petitioning him, she was provoked by her situation and her lack of fruitfulness. Are you provoked by the situation you're in and the lack of fruitfulness that's maybe coming out of your life? God doesn't mind us coming to him and saying it as it is. That's what Hannah did. She knew she was loved by her husband and loved by God. And yet there was a holy dissatisfaction within Hannah that would not rest. Despite of everything, she wept and prayed and fasted. And let's face it, a lot of us can get lazy. I do. We know the condition of our nation. Are you praying about it? Am I praying about it? Or maybe you have unsaved loved ones. How fervent are you in prayer on their behalf? Hannah would not take no for an answer. She was completely broken and desperate for an answer from God. And I think sometimes God wants us to get to that point where we're in that place. We need to reach a new level of brokenness, holy dissatisfaction, that other priorities, like even eating, are put to the side so we can get into prayer. Not just scheduling regular times of prayer, but breaking through that even when a breakthrough is needed. She kept praying and refused to give up. She was so desperate that people around her misunderstood her. I mean, Eli, this is the spiritual leader, thought she was drunk. I mean, she answered him very respectfully, didn't she? She didn't say, you old coot, you know. No, she answered respectfully and gave her request. And it was through Eli's words that she received the answer to her prayers. What was her answer? Samuel. God gave her a son, Samuel. Hannah's great time of prayer and travail in prayer ended with Eli saying, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant your petition." And it says that she ate and her face was no longer sad. What does that tell you about Hannah? She believed. That's my answer. I got it. Was she pregnant then? No. But she knew it's coming. It's now I got it. And she did. That's why faith is so important. And in God's timing, it happened. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord." The reason for this message is we're finishing up this look at how the early church prioritized certain things. And one of the things in Acts 42 was that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Those things were made important. Of course, prayer. Prayer was a priority in the early church. You know, we pray here every Sunday, which is right and good. And Mary does a good job up front, and we take people's requests and praises, and we lift things up to God. But you know, I had to think, we rarely take time to come together to pray corporately for, say, the town of Mannheim, or just TC and the staff here, or other ministries or missionaries. We pray for here and there, but or for our nation, or for Israel and that war, or the Ukraine, and there's many more things we could really be spending time praying for. Other things going on in our world. I know for many years, when I was attending Chickies, we met every Saturday morning at 6:30 to pray. I'm not a morning person. That seemed so early. It was the only day of the week I had to sleep in. I was teaching, you know, coaching, teaching, dad. And yet I really felt I was supposed to be there. And I rarely missed. Even when Lou Ann was away doing something and I had the boys to myself and they were sleeping, I would hire a sitter and they would come and watch the kids sleep so I could go and pray and not leave them home alone. And we did that for years. I believe they're still meeting. I don't know the answers of how often we should have prayer or where to pray corporately for other things, but I believe the Holy Spirit does, and I believe he wants us to happen and make it a priority at times, just as the early church did. Paul knew how vital prayer is, because when he talked about spiritual warfare, he ended with verse 18, "Praying with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, let your requests be made known to God." He knew that it's a great weapon in the arsenal for a Christian for breakthroughs to come. Lastly, as a result of the church's devotion to the Lord and their time spent in prayer, and in the word, it says in Acts 2:43 that then fear and awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. The repercussions in both the spiritual and the physical realm from the church being faithful in prayer was that the Holy Spirit manifested and displayed his power through them and among them. Not just a few miraculous things, but it says many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And we say, yeah, that was the apostles. I mean, they were special. Well, it didn't happen just through the apostles. We know from Scripture that it happened through other people. Stephen, Ananias, Philip, all these non-apostles were also used by God in great ways to give God glory and honor. So, I'm going to end up with this scripture. Jesus in Mark 16, 15 to 18, and in verse 20. This is the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And in verse 20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs." That means as they went out and just did what God told them to do, he backed up his word with supernatural things. Wow. So the point of all this morning, I think, we need to be in constantly in touch and walking with the Lord through our day, in tune with the Holy Spirit. I need this. And when we're in that place, when we're in that zone, it's a powerful place to be. And so he can manifest through us, touching people around us, the people we run into, so they know that there is a God and he's alive. He's not dead. And he loves them and cares about them. And watch what God will do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for how you desire to be with us and meet with us and talk to us constantly. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to hear, to draw near to you. Tell us to draw near to me and I will draw near to you. It's a promise. Help us to do that, Lord, more and more often. I know these people, Lord, they love you. And I know you love them. Help us get to a new level, Lord. I know we're all, I believe, praying. Help us get to a new spot, Lord, where we're even more effective in both speaking and hearing you and then stepping out in faith. Lord, for those situations, help us to be more like Hannah. For the situations in our lives where we need a breakthrough, help us to be so desperate to you where we'll spend an extra season, maybe in fasting and prayer, as well as just prayer. I don't know, Lord, but you do. And if you're prompting someone to do that, there's a reason for it. Help us to be obedient to each of those little promptings you give us, Father, through your Spirit. And Lord, help us just take you with us through our day, that we'll be constantly in your presence, that others would sense your presence in us, and that we would be vessels for your glory to those around us. We thank you for these things. Thank you for the great privilege we have to call you Father. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.